Isn't this a sports show?
It's a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
Woo!
Almost entirely.
If you're new to the Wednesday show, it is wet, it is wild, it is wacky. It's Wildly Wildly.
It is.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hump Day is here.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
First of all, you talk so damn fast sometimes, it's hard to understand that. So I'm not defending myself because I am a terrible listener. Everyone knows that.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm a little concerned for my digestive system later, but you know, that's just Taco Bell, right? Mark that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, welcome. I hope you're already wet and wild and wacky.
Woo!
This week has been strange for me.
It has been.
I figured out why yesterday felt like a Friday. It's because I had worked every day since Wednesday. So yesterday was, you know, right on cue for a weekend. No. Today is hump day.
Hump day is here. Had to change it up a little bit.
You didn't. You said you did the exact same thing. It
I
was like
paused a little bit there.
And also, we're in an interesting place, right? I think today is going to be a really good show for our purposes, because the only thing that really happened yesterday was KU destroyed Toledo. So we've got 2 hours to fill, and it's not like we've got anything to cover from yesterday. Last Wednesday was very sportsy. Well, it also felt like a Friday because we had Thanksgiving the day after. But yesterday or last week was very sportsy because the Chiefs signed Darrell Revis. We cranked out a two-hour show talking about why Darrell Revis was, you know, going to save the Chiefs' offense somehow. He's going to play both ways. He's going to play both ways. He's going to be the quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're on, like, day three of please, God, give us Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think that's the enduring conversation topic in Kansas City.
It is.
Because I also, like, I don't really have any stomach for, like, breaking down Chiefs-Jets. If they were in the middle of another winning streak here, they would have lost to the Cowboys and then beaten the Giants and Bills, I'd probably be here telling you about how Matt Forte is the key to victory. But I am just, I'm kind of burnt out on, you know, trying to convince you that the Chiefs have something exciting coming this weekend.
Well, it's just so hard to be excited and be optimistic right now just because the last two, I guess you could say last 4 weeks, including the bye, have just been just huge disappointment. Just, yeah, exactly. And I really need to see something from this team this week, or I'm going to lose one. I've already lost 90% faith. I'll lose 100 if they lose to the freaking Jets. But I also said that against the Giants, who are worse than
the
Jets.
Thing.
So I just don't know where that balance or what to do about all that, just or where my faith stands right now, I guess.
I think it'd be so cool if this radio station could get a headphone jack that would work.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, so here's a follow-up to that, though, because I was saying, I started to say things like that for the Bills game, where, again, the Chiefs went out and maybe played worse than they did against the Giants, against a better team.
Probably.
Thank you. Thank you, Beards. But what I realized going into that game was that it really doesn't matter what happens. As anything from, like, a close win to a relatively sturdy win, none of those things are going to really mean anything to me. Losing again would be a big problem. And winning by a ton would be a good statement. But it was like Jeff Schwartz had that tweet on Sunday morning. It was like, I think the Chiefs are going to come out today against the Bills and destroy them because that's what good teams do. And then they pooped out, and now Jeff Schwartz is still tweeting constantly about how you're an idiot if you think the Chiefs should move to Mahomes. Like, that's kind of his brand at this point. Even though he said, you know, this is the measurement of a good team. And that's kind of the thing right now that I'm not rolling my eyes at it. I feel like I'm staring through the glass at handfuls of people who have just abandoned all logic at this point.
Yeah.
Like, well, they're gonna bounce back after the bye week. Andy Reid's gonna break out of the bye. Yeah, Alex Smith's gonna look like his old self. They're gonna crush the Giants. Oh, well, they're gonna crush the Bills next week because that's what good teams do. Well, they're gonna beat the Jets this week because the Jets are no good. And well, they're not the worst. They're not a bad team. The Alex is not the problem.
You slowly developed an accent as you were saying.
Like, did I get more southern as I went?
Yeah, I think I did.
I don't know. It wasn't on purpose, but I think you're right. Yeah. I think I did.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where we're at right now.
I mean, my thing is, I am totally ready for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not as much as you are, but I don't think anybody is really. But
just scratching my
head. Right.
Not even Patrick Mahomes is that excited.
But I do understand where people are coming from, that the Chiefs are still technically leading the division. And I think if that ever does, like if they lose again and they lose the division, then yeah, bring him in, prepare for next season.
So then you're bringing him in too late. Like, so this is the thing.
Well, if we lose again, isn't this season already just done?
No!
Not done, but
no!
You know what I mean? Like, just lost?
No, the NFL is too weird. I mean, what is lost? What does lost mean? Does lost mean missing the playoffs? Does lost mean not getting the AFC Championship game? Because that's the barometer for success this year. Like, Clark Hunt said that. Like, the barometer for success is improving.
I think lost would be not winning the division and maybe sneaking in as a wild card and then losing in the first round of the wild card.
So if they lose this, week and the Chargers win, then you go into that next stretch of games with the Raiders and Chargers. The AFC West is not out of reach. It's almost literally impossible for the AFC West to be out of reach, like, before the season actually ends. So if you're going to say that you can't put Mahomes in until the season is out of reach, you're not going to play him until week 17 when you're mathematically eliminated. And if that's the truth, then go ahead and say it, I guess, if that's where you're at. But anything less than that, There have to be other points. So if you want to wait until the season is lost, then you're just making really reactionary moves. You're Ben McAdoo at that point.
Yeah, well, don't compare me to Ben McAdoo.
Well, I'm comparing Andy Reid to
Ben McAdoo.
If that's the decision that makes it. Because here's the thing. Andy Reid is really good at falling on the sword. I would like Andy Reid to move the sword out from under him before he falls on it next time. Because I understand why it's hard to bench Alex Smith for the second time in his career for the young up-and-comer. I get it. That sucks. I understand that it's hard to bench the known quantity for kind of the firecracker. But that's what you have to do from a leadership position. And the Bills bleeped this up.
If they were gonna
go with Nathan Peterman because they didn't care about this season, and that's what you're doing there, because Nathan Peterman is a much more unknown quantity than Patrick Mahomes is.
What was he, a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, a fifth-round rookie. If you're going to do that, then show the leadership to trade away Tyrod Taylor at the trade deadline, get yourself something on this team now, and then let Peterman just play out the rest of the season. The Giants are doing it now.
I was just about to say the Giants are about to make the Bills' mistake.
The problem that I have with what the Giants are doing isn't the move that they're making. We'll talk more about it in a second. It's actually benching Eli Manning, I think, is fine.
You do?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Oh.
But the way that McAdoo is, well, if you want to keep the starter streak alive and you want to play the first quarter or the first half and then we'll rotate it through like a preseason game, I think that's a cowardly move because you're trying to preserve some arbitrary streak. And then also McAdoo's reasoning, by the way, is bad. I think he said, you know, Geno gives us the best chance to win. That's garbage, obviously. He gives you the best chance to get a higher pick. We'll talk about Eli Manning in a little bit. But if you're going to do it, just make the move. Do it before the trade deadline and trade away Tyrod Taylor. Tell Eli Manning that you're benching him because you want to see the young guys, and it's not his fault. But that's what's but his streak is over, and you're moving on because it's what's best for the franchise. I'm not excited about those are leadership moves, and those are things that the Bills screwed up and the Giants screwed up. If Andy Reid waits until the season is out of reach to move to Patrick Mahomes, then that's a coaching mistake because you should have made the quarterback switch before the season was lost.
Yeah, I totally agree with
that. The only way that this makes any sense is if you end up not losing the AFC West, is if you end up saying, well, you know what, we're sticking with Alex Smith, and then they beat the Jets, and they beat the Raiders, and they beat the Chargers, and you get back in track in the AFC West, and then you go and ultimately you lose to Pittsburgh in the divisional round. If that is the result of it all, I still have a problem because this is a team that can't beat the Steelers and a team that's probably not going to beat the Patriots. I have a problem there still, but the huge red flag to me is to say, you know what? No, we're going to wait until we are out of contention to change the most volatile position on this team. That's not having any leadership. That's not making any risky moves. That's letting the circumstances dictate your decisions, which literally anybody can do. That's being the Bills. That's being the Giants. It's handling all of that poorly. So I'm that's the thing now that I keep seeing people bring up, and it's just it's the cowardly way of making a quarterback change.
Oh yeah, well,
it's what the Giants are doing right now.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to disagree with everything you just said there, and I was just saying that I understand where they're coming from, I guess. But it does make sense. It almost makes sense, like you said, the AFC West is not out of reach, and it likely won't be until week 16 or 17, or like a few weeks down the road. This is almost the best time to make the switch.
Yes.
And so, like, in what if it doesn't work out the first week? Like, he comes out and he throws three picks in the first half or something like that. Then you just go right back to Alex Smith, and you're right back to where you were.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But
I would make the move and say we've made this bed and we're going to sleep in it one way or another. But I mean, if you say that it's an absolutely disastrous Mahomes performance, and you want to do that? I guess I get it, but I don't think that a disastrous Mahomes performance. You give him the next 2 weeks. You give him at the Jets and versus the Raiders. The offense is going to score more than the 19 points they scored against the Bills and the Giants combined. It can't be worse than that. And if it is, then fine.
Where's Tyler Bray?
Then bring in Tyler Bray.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Seriously.
Then bring in Tyler Bray.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this offense, though. It literally can't be worse.
What my biggest problem with them is where is the spark? Where is the drive of this team? They have
on the sidelines
lost.
In the arm of a rookie.
Yeah, okay.
Number 15.
Of course you say that.
Sideline.
No. I'm just saying, like, that's another reason for them to make a change is because they need a spark, they need something new.
Yeah.
And it just this team, almost not even just the offense, this team is lifeless.
So think really quick right now, just like word association, Chiefs offensive player who has the most spark. There are two options. I think realistically, and if you want to give an honorable mention to Kareem Hunt, you can.
I was going to say Travis Kelce.
But Travis Kelce is a firecracker at any given moment. And listen, it's occasionally been him throwing his towel at a ref like a flag, and it's occasionally been him making obscene gestures that are only funny. And I get it. But Seth Kizer had a tweet about this. We all saw at the end whenever Alex threw the interception against the Bills. Travis Kelce looks exasperated out there. Whenever you suck the life out of Travis Kelce, something bad has happened.
Well, especially with all those gifs of the film of that last play.
Right, there was a last play, and then there were several times throughout the game, apparently, where Seth was rewatching the All-22, and he was saying there's a lot of plays where Travis Kelce just looks dejected, and that's not good. Because he's the attitude of this offense. He is currently just being muted because you don't want to be the attitude of a losing team. Because all of a sudden then, if you're the attitude on a team that's scoring 10 or 9 points in back-to-back games, then you look like a D-bag because you get a first down, you go, first down, as you're losing, 28-3. Wow, it was weird that I went to 28-3. I don't really know why I did that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why did you do that?
It really wasn't a joke. It's just like that, but it is a joke, and it wasn't supposed to be. But that's the attitude. Whenever you talk about guys making actual plays, you talk about Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Those guys are they're the fireworks of here's a 25-yard chunk right now. A stat came through today, NFL Matchup on Twitter. That's an ESPN branch where they just tweet out stats of things. And they tweeted on the season, the most throws made at or behind the line of scrimmage, and the Chiefs have the second most in football at 112.
It's probably another the first.
The Packers have 115. It's the Brett Hundley experience.
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah, because they don't have Rodgers.
Right. And now the Saints are third, which is interesting because we think about what Drew Brees is doing this year, but they are spending a lot of their plays getting the ball to Alvin Kamara, to Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram.
I made him different Chargers players before eventually. That's what happened there. And you have the Vikings fourth, and in a relatively distant fourth, because they have Case Keenum, and that's Case Keenum throwing it to all of the moving pieces on that offense that's been shockingly good. The Chiefs
after losing their star running back.
And their quarterbacks losing two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're on their third string quarterback and their backup running back right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting the ball to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in different ways. But the Chiefs have, first of all, the Chiefs have the worst offense like on this list until you get down to the Ravens. But the Packers is even achieving better right now than the Chiefs is obviously the Saints, obviously the Vikings, obviously the Steelers. Those are the next sets of teams. But this number is crazy because for the first five games of the season, the thing that would never stop being paraded in front of me was, look at how Alex Smith is throwing downfield, and we have a new MVP, Alex Smith. It just rum-pum-pum-pum of this high school marching band circling me at all times. It has regressed so far that now they're back at the top of the league in check down screen. Just completely taking the air out of your offense. Whenever you have two stupendous deep threats, you have one of the best outside deep threats in football in Tyreek Hill, and you have the best tight end deep threat in football in Travis Kelce. And you aren't throwing the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. They've thrown passes at or behind the line of scrimmage 112 times. That's unbelievable. In 11 games, that's 10 throws a game. 10 throws a game are screens on average. And now, I mean, that's like, that is impossible.
Is this an Alex Smith problem or an Andy Reid problem? It's a little bit of both.
It's Andy Reid using what he has.
Which one has regressed back to their norm more?
Okay, that's a really good way of phrasing it, because the answer is that Alex Smith has regressed to his norm.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is not. This is not Andy Reid's norm.
Right.
This is Andy Reid with Alex Smith. Again, it's Andy Reid sees what we all see with Alex Smith. He's scared. He has happy feet. He's uncomfortable in the pocket. He's running into pressure. So Andy Reid's trying to give him as many ways as possible to get the ball out quickly and to try to cover up the quarterback problem that they're currently having. That's not Andy Reid's norm. Andy Reid doesn't want to live that way. You can look at that now by go looking at Doug Peterson. That Eagles offense, just for kicks
it.
Here, has the second fewest passes at or behind the line of scrimmage this year. That's not.
What does that mean?
That's not because it's not because this offense is inherently conservative.
Yeah.
The Eagles are running a very similar offense. It's different. It has some differences, but philosophically, I think Doug Peterson took a lot from Andy Reid. This is not a philosophically conservative way of playing football that the Chiefs are doing here. It's using the tools that you have, which is why I'm so interested and so excited to see Mahomes actually brought into this offense. And also, I would like to see the Chiefs beat the Jets this week. I would prefer that.
So.
Also because Josh's honor is on the line.
Oh, God. It's the most sure I've ever been about anything. The Jets had a 4.5 over-under coming into this year. And I was talking to Matt. They have four wins right now. Matt Verderam and I were talking about it during the preseason. And it's the most sure I've ever been about anything in sports. That is another good point, Beards. Thank you for reminding me of how big of an idiot I am about the Jets. But so
you're welcome.
The Jets were supposed to tank at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, I know.
First of
4.5 seemed insane.
Not the other New York team.
You're right.
Tanking,
no, I would have. 4.5 was insane.
Yeah.
But so I would love to see the Chiefs beat the Jets this week. I also wonder if I could pose this, if I could get some very honest Chiefs fans to say, hey, listen, so let's not make it a win or loss thing, because wins and losses are too valuable at this point because everything in the AFC is such a mess. But would you rather the Chiefs score like 35 points in this game or like 3 points? Would you like a nice 3-0
win
or a nice 35-27 win?
I couldn't handle running post-game show. I couldn't handle a 3-0 win.
Oh, the 3-0 win would just be... It wouldn't be a post-game show. It would be a pre-Andy Reid press conference pre-game show for whenever he announces that Patrick Mahomes is starting against the Raiders. Because this is... I have said all along... This is a different conversation. But I've said all along that I would be really surprised if Patrick Mahomes starts a game for the Chiefs this year, barring injury, just for an Alex Smith benching, and I still would be. But if the Chiefs end up with 30 points in three games, which right now seems very reasonable. Also, I'm pretty sure that the Jets have the best defense of the last three defenses the Chiefs have played.
Which is insane.
It's insane.
You don't...
If the Chiefs have
you
another
think defense, you don't think Jets.
If they have another one offensive touchdown performance, I think Andy Reid might do it.
Think so.
I think he might. And I'm also thinking that there's a pretty good chance we're not going to get another one offensive touchdown performance because it's almost unfathomable at this point. But if it happens again, if you get 9 points at the Giants, 10 points versus the Bills, and 12 points against the Jets, something like 13 points will give you a touchdown and 2 field goals.
Ugh.
I think Andy Reid would have a really hard time sleeping Sunday night.
It seems like he had a hard time sleeping this past Sunday night. He was so down on Monday.
He didn't even say time's yours.
Yeah.
We played a bunch of the audio, but I forgot to mention he didn't even say time's yours.
He looks like a sad little puppy that was up all night from a thunderstorm. Like,
wow, that's a pretty good explanation.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I was just like, oh my gosh, you look so defeated.
I don't see Andy Reid as a puppy. That's kind of the flaw in
He looked like
your
a sad there. Little gigantic grizzly bear up all night because of a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a pit bull. Just a very sad pit bull.
I think Charlie's analogy was okay. He looked like a sad little baby walrus who was up all night for a thunderstorm.
Yes, I like it.
You guys have inverse problems, by the way. I just realized this all at once. Charlie's kryptonite obviously is listening.
What?
I knew that. I was waiting for the what. That's obviously Charlie's kryptonite, where he just needs to pay more attention to what's going on around him. Beards just loves trampling over jokes.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Beard is an interrupter, and that's just not a good radio trait. Like, here, let's all talk at once, and then Beards, you can go back and listen to this later. Everybody, come on,
so
get on
the
mic,
Chiefs,
Beards.
And they're playing the Jets.
Yeah,
this
get on the mic, and we're all
going to
do five. We're going to do
plays,
5 seconds.
On
Hold
Saturday.
On,
I'm trampling the joke by not participating.
I hope. Will you give him a break sign? Because I know that drives him nuts.
I was gonna go to break anyway. Like Beards' unwillingness to play along, and his insistence on trampling over jokes is just infuriating.
This may be just because I know you two, and I just know how radio works, I guess. But when I'm listening, when I'm not in studio and listening, just in. Driving around or whatever, mm-hmm. I know when Beards makes some type of hand motion or talks in your ear or something because you just go to something else, just like, damn it, Beards.
Yeah, I can't avoid it sometimes. Like I would rather just let everyone know what Beards has done to throw the show off the rails.
Yeah, he enjoys that too.
Deflecting
much.
Blame. I see how it is.
No, it's pointing out the actual culprit.
No one deflects blame in this world, right?
No, I'm going to be a politician whenever the radio career falls apart.
Right,
so
exactly.
I'm ready for it. I his eagerness is just a really bizarre pendulum,
mm-hmm.
where he's either going to be absorbed into the quicksand.
It's also a good analogy.
Or don't trample over my analogy.
I was saying it was good,
but you trampled over it.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm done. I'm not going to do it again.
See, I pulled a Beards.
You?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
They went and talked to the Georgia Tech team who they're playing in China, and they went and talked to some of the UCLA guys trying to figure out, you know, who did it, and they were like, quote, house arrest under a hotel room, and Charlie just threw a punching glove keychain at me.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Sorry, guys, I'm in a Twitter fight. About Alex Smith.
Boy.
Are you going to have
Do
that
tell.
In silence? Or?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys can talk. You guys can do a show really quick.
No, I want you to read each tweet as you go down this whole fight.
No, I'm good.
That's good radio, right?
That's over. Now we're good.
Okay. You won?
No, because it's about Alex Smith. So it's going to go on until the end of time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. I did have another really good point, though, about something that had popped up that I really wanted to talk about. And, I've forgotten it now because I got so wrapped up in my own Twitter fight. Ah, yes. Arrowhead Pride just tweeted out a thing, a story about how Travis Kelce is one of the most productive slot receivers in the NFL. And I just pointed out that Tyreek Hill is one of the most productive yards per target receivers in football, and Travis Kelce is one of the best slot receivers and maybe the best tight end in the football.
and the coffin, the offense is currently completely impotent. I almost called it a coffense, which actually is perfect.
Yeah, it is good.
It's about at that state right now.
Yeah. And I just, you only have so many options that you can look at before you realize that there's a problem somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over on the Facebook page, as always, you can watch the show and comment on everything. Over on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, Stacy came in and did just that. She said, "Hey, fellas, I missed the Big Mahomie conversation yesterday." I don't know if it was a typo or not, but I love it. The Big Mahomie conversation yesterday, and I had a question. Has anyone talked about how putting Mahomes in could be an advantage since no tape exists for him of him for his opponents to study? At least versus NFL teams. Obviously, Alex poses no problems for coaches to figure out. The new scheme at the beginning of the year had teams flustered, so maybe Mahomes could have the same effect. I think this is an interesting perspective, and there definitely is some merit to it, and there definitely is some history. Rookie quarterbacks brought into the league usually have a couple of games when they're operating at an advantage because it's harder to prepare for these guys because you don't know what they're going to look like in the NFL. Their NFL tape, their NFL mindset, their NFL performances are non-existent. So I do think that that has another chance to give Mahomes a little bit of an extra step up in his entrance into the league and to his beginning as the Chiefs quarterback. So, yeah, I think there absolutely is logic behind that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Andy Reid would ever make the switch at halftime? Or do you think he would start the guy and stay with him the rest of the game? Because what if Alex Smith comes out this Sunday and has just another terrible first half? Do you think he makes the switch?
I don't think it would matter. Patrick Mahomes is playing on the scout team right now, and I wouldn't. I think that Mahomes, whenever that switch is going to be made, he needs to have at least that full week to prepare to be the starting quarterback next week.
Yeah,
I couldn't see it.
It would be bad for Mahomes.
Yeah,
it would be a way to get Reed out of the doghouse.
It would be
to try it, and then it would.
Well, I don't know if it would backfire or not, actually. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it is.
But no, I don't think that he would do that, and I hope that he wouldn't. Again, at a break, if this Jets game goes poorly and the Raiders at home, a porous offense in Arrowhead, is sitting there to just sort of waiting for the Mahomes debut, that's something that I would be very happy to get behind.
I just saw a picture tweeted of Eli Manning in a Cardinals jersey.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
We've brought up the Cardinals a couple of times with Alex Smith also for next year because the teams you're looking at are the Broncos, the Jags, the Cardinals. The Jets are probably either going to stick with Manning or go straight up young.
Chiefs!
Anyway.
No, explain yourself. No, anyway. We'll sit in silence. Explain your joke.
I was making a joke.
Explain why that joke was funny.
Because why in the hell would the Chiefs get Eli Manning?
Was that a joke about Bob Fesco's bad poll?
That too.
Okay, because that you can make a joke about.
Sure.
I don't know if he was doing it sarcastically. Did you say that yesterday?
Yeah.
There was also a couple other people on Twitter I saw, just people, not anybody.
As important as we are.
Right, that's what I meant.
Also, Washington might need a quarterback. A couple of the teams...
are they not going to... They're never going to commit to Cousins, are they?
Dude, the Washington / Daniel Snyder are more afraid of commitment than I am.
Yeah, right.
It is unbelievable. Somebody said at one point that they're determining Kirk Cousins' future based on the last, like, these next five games, or they're going to play into it or whatever. Man, he's thrown, like, 10,000 passes in that building.
He did just okay against the Giants on Thanksgiving, but the two or three weeks before that, he crushed it. And they're not going to win that division, obviously, with the Eagles, but they're definitely going to fight for a wild card spot, at least I think.
For sure.
So they need to commit to him. But my thing with all this Eli Manning stuff and just with the way Alex Smith has played the past few weeks, his trade value has gone so down. Like, are we going to get it if we do move on from him next year? Are we going to get anything from him for him, or
well,
or are we just going to have to release him and then I don't know.
We talked to Matt Vertering yesterday, and he was of the mind that they're probably going to cut him. I think that's an overreaction. I think they're going to get something for Alex Smith. These last five games have obviously really, really hurt. They've really hurt his trade value much more than him being benched would have for a younger quarterback or whatever.
Right.
Could
at least get a late round draft pick or two or something.
I think that the
the benchmark for his trade value still should be something like a second or third round pick. Now, the pricing for things recently has been weird because Jacoby Brissett got traded for Philip Dorsett, and the price for A.J. McCarron was really high, but the price for Jimmy Garoppolo was a little bit less, I think. And, you know, the price to move up for Pat Mahomes was expensive. And so the quarterback market is all very strange. It's going to be, in large part for Alex Smith, a matter of scarcity. Mm-hmm. And there are, at this point, at least a small handful of veteran stopgap quarterbacks on the market for next year, where it's Eli Manning, it's Alex Smith. There's somebody else I'm forgetting that's going to be... Oh, Tyrod Taylor was the other one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are all going to be out there kind of as options. Colin Kaepernick, you know, maybe next year.
Still there.
Maybe next year.
Everybody, I don't know. That's not even a joke, though.
That's insane. That's just insanity.
Everybody that they've picked to not pick Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien...
Oh, those guys will be available.
Bill O'Brien should drive off of a bridge into a tar pit like Chuck Pagano in Groundhog Day. Like Chuck Pagano's director's cut of Groundhog Day.
Also Hurricanes.
Sure. Drive off of a cliff into a tar pit and take damn Tom Savage with you into this empty freaking press conference room. I mean, I feel like if we made like an almost entirely sports bingo, there has to be a we should, by the way, we should do this.
Ooh, yeah, I do like that.
We should do this. Or drinking game or whatever, I guess it doesn't really matter. It's
both.
All the same. Both.
It's bingo, but there's a shot glass
on each space.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Ooh, yeah.
The free space for every show is Josh starts mumbling about how much he freaking hates Bill O'Brien. Because every show we get there.